You guys had a great Thanksgiving. You know, we have been in this series called X Multiply. Let's all say that together. X Multiply for like infinity, right? 11 weeks we've been in that, and it's hard charging. And we've just been painting the picture of just this 10-year vision. And you know, there's a lot that goes into that. And so today, just in honor of Thanksgiving, I just want us all to take a deep breath, okay? Some of y'all need to do too. Like, doesn't that feel better? Man, I love Thanksgiving. You know, there are some people that are Thanksgiving people and some people that are Christmas people, right? Any just Thanksgiving people in the house just love Thanksgiving? Wow. Okay. Christmas people? Let's go. I'm sure it's all because of Jesus, right? Am I wrong? Let's go, right? But here's the thing I love about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving turns our attention. It pivots our attention towards Christmas, right? I mean, that's what Thanksgiving does. Now, we usually put Thanksgiving in the place that it's at, and you can't decorate until what? Until after Thanksgiving. You can't decorate for Christmas. But what I've noticed over this year is that people started decorating earlier. Like, I was in Lowe's back in early October before Halloween, and they had the big blow-up snowmen and the big Christmas trees. And I've talked to more people that broke this unwritten rule, this unwritten law. Anybody break the rule this year? Like, look at the people, like all of us. Like, we did it too, right? I mean, and there's a reason why. And what I want to do today is not just look at Thanksgiving as pointing us towards Christmas, but look at this spiritual discipline of gratitude that paves the way for God's presence at Christmas. Now I think one reason that people are looking forward to Christmas more this year than normal is because they just need it. Hello, somebody? Right, we just need it. People know that something's missing, and they need what Christmas is about, and they need what Advent is about. So next week, we're gonna start this series called Advent, and we want gratitude today to actually be what propels us into Advent, right? Gratitude propels us into Advent, because Advent, just we're gonna talk about the hope that we have in Christ, that people need hope today. Man, people are walking around hopeless. They don't know where their future is. They don't know who to believe. They don't know who to trust. They need hope. Amen, somebody? Man, they need peace, another word that we'll talk about in Advent. Man, all we do is read about the level of anxiety and emotional turmoil that people are in. They're just on the rise. Man, we need some peace in our lives. We're gonna talk about love, and that we just need to understand in this age of conflict, what does it mean to love each other? And then finally, we're gonna talk about joy on Christmas Eve as you hopefully you're getting ready for that. And just as we look at the joy and celebrate the joy that Jesus brings into our lives. Now the reality is there's just some very basic ideas of gratitude. And then there's this spiritual discipline of gratitude. And I wanna talk about both of them because you can't talk about one without the other. But as you look at just the basics of gratitude, we all learned this when we were kids. You know, when something, we would be at, you know, Thanksgiving at Aunt Jenny's house, and she would make that Spam casserole, and you'd have to take a bite, and your mom would look at you and say, "What do you say?" And what you wanted to say is, "I think I'm gonna throw up." That's what you wanted to say. But what did you know you were supposed to say? "Thank you. Thank you." That is good manners, right? That is good manners, and we should all have good manners. But the truth is, good manners is basic gratitude. But God's activity is a discipline of gratitude. And as we learn what it means to live in this discipline of gratitude, what happens is it opens up God's personalized access to us. Well, like there are some things that Tyler just read about that we're gonna talk about today. There are some things that we will not get, some blessing we will not get, some gifts from God we will not get because we are not grateful. Like, wouldn't you hate to get to heaven and God says, "There's the curtain." This is me making this up, by the way. It's not how this goes. But like, and behind the curtain are all the things you didn't get because you were not grateful for the things you did get. Like, wouldn't that be terrible? And so we want to look at the spiritual discipline of gratitude because it grants us personalized access to God. Now, there's two things that we have for this spiritual discipline of gratitude. Number one is just accepting the good, embracing the good, knowing that there's good in our life, affirming the goodness that's around us. And sometimes that can be difficult. Sometimes it's not too hard, but some days it's a little hard. It's a battle, isn't it? Man, some days you look around and you're like, "I'm not sure. I feel like the bad outweighs the good." But gratitude, the discipline of gratitude, affirms the goodness. And it also, the second thing it does, it embraces this goodness comes from God. It embraces the reality that this goodness comes from God, and we will experience more of God's presence and more of God's power in our life when we embrace this discipline of gratitude. Do you know people who are just grateful? Like, they're just grateful, they're just happy, they just are well-adjusted, they just seem to get along, nothing seems to knock them off their game. They're just grateful people because they have fought for the discipline of gratitude. Man, just a couple of quotes on gratitude. Meister Eckhart said this. He was a spiritual father from about 1,000 years ago. He said, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. It will be enough. Cicero said this. He says, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. It's the beginning. Thomas Merton said this, there's no neutrality between gratitude and ingratitude. Those who are not grateful soon to begin to complain about everything. Do you know those people? Anybody know somebody like that? Anybody is that person? Just want to call it out right now? Come on, we'll pray for you down front. Let's go. But the spiritual discipline of gratitude. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at this story that we just saw of Jesus interacting with this leper who gave gratitude and the 9 who didn't. Then I'm going to look at just some real practical ways that we can build in the discipline of gratitude. And then I'm going to do the ABCs of gratitude. I'm going to go A through Z on the things that I'm grateful for. And yeah, you laugh, it's coming, because it is. It's going to be fun. Some of them will be fun, but also it will be things that maybe would spur in your mind, things you could be grateful for, and maybe they've fallen off your radar. And so let's go ahead and grab our Bibles, and let's look at Luke chapter 17 again, as we were just looking at it with Tyler. So Jesus is, it says in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way for his execution for the Easter story. He's on his way there. And it says, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so just a little bit of context of what this means. So as Jesus is walking along, he comes on this open air village in Samaria. Samaria was kind of off limits to Jews, but there are lepers there. Now, We don't really, the context of leprosy in the Bible is a lot more dire than we kind of see it today. So in that culture, lepers, you know, obviously it starts with a skin disease and it moves beyond that into you lose feeling in your limbs. So for instance, if you lost feeling in your fingers, you may hit it with a hammer or do something to it and not know that something bad had happened to it. So bodies just begin to deteriorate and to slough off, and it is a brutal, debilitating disease. And so the way that society handled that in Jesus' day was, number one, you just had to be ostracized into some open-air village out in the middle of nowhere where you would not come into contact with people, right? You were alone. You were just with other lepers. You were without your family. You were without your friends, without anybody that you grew up with. And there's nobody to pat you on the back. There was nobody to give you a hug. There was nobody to get up close and tell you and encourage you. You were all alone. Not only that, if you saw someone coming, you had to begin to yell, unclean, unclean at the top of your lungs. Like, can you imagine doing that? You had to yell unclean, unclean at the top of your lungs so that people would know that you had leprosy and wouldn't get close to you. So this is the context. And so Jesus shows up to these 10 lepers and they start screaming, rather than unclean, they start screaming, have mercy on us. Man, heal us. Is there something that you can do about us? And see, this is a situation that Jesus finds himself in. Now, as we look in the Bible, whenever you see this idea of leprosy, what happens is we're supposed to make this connection between our spiritual state and their physical state, that we are technically apart from God without Christ. And Christ shows up just like he showed up in this village. And we see that he brings healing. In verse 14, it goes on to say, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So the religious rules in that day, if you look way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, you know, that's the book that when you start to read the Bible through in a year, you stop reading. When you get to Leviticus, Leviticus has a lot of the ritual laws in it. And so in the book of Leviticus, there's laws about how to handle leprosy. And the primary way that you handle it was they would go show themselves to the priest to either be diagnosed with leprosy, or if they felt like they'd been healed, the priest would pronounce them healed. And so Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. And then he says this, he says, and as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. You ever notice how God answers prayer as you're going and you just forget it? Like as you're studying for that test, you ended up passing. You know, as you were eating better, you got healthier. As you were going to your doctor's appointments, you got healed. It doesn't negate the work of God, but sometimes in the process, and we forget to be grateful for what God has done in our life. And so they're healed. It says they're cleansed on the way. Now, the word for cleansed here is literally just their symptoms are gone. They look down and their skin is cleared up. It's just a physical cleansing that happened. And then we see what happened to this one man and his reaction in verse 15. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving them thanks. He was a Samaritan. Now the word for healed now that's used, cleansed, it was just the symptoms. It says he was healed. His symptoms weren't just gone. His disease was gone. That's what it means to be healed. So this man, as they're going, looks down and realizes, oh, I'm not just, my skin just doesn't look better. I'm healed. I don't have this disease anymore. And he said this, it says, first of all, he was praising God. Now remember, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. They were yelling out, have mercy on us. Now they're yelling out. He starts to yell out with a loud voice, praising God. Why was he doing that? Because he realized that there was good outside of him, that good didn't come from him, it came from God himself. So he's expressing gratitude just by praising God. So he praises God with this loud voice. And then it says this, he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. Now remember, they couldn't get close to anybody. This would have been the first time in no telling how long, possibly decades, this man had been within distance to be able to fall at somebody's feet. So he falls at Jesus' feet, gets close to him. And then it says he gave thanks. Now the word for giving thanks in the Bible comes from the word where we get the word grace from. That's the root word. Man, part of giving thanks and being grateful and having gratitude is just giving thanks in all things. And it's finding the good in all things. Do you ever find it difficult to find the good in all things? Any Auburn fans in the house today? Brutal, man, brutal. You're welcome. Be grateful. Remember, it's in the Bible. There are times it's difficult to find the good in all things and to acknowledge that God is in charge of the good. Man, we could all live with a little more grace. And we could live with just a little more forgiveness, a little less negativity, a little more kindness, a little more celebration, a little more hope. We could all live with a little more grace. How do we get there? The spiritual discipline of gratitude. I just want to highlight some of the benefits of gratitude that we see. You know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul is writing this, and he writes this. He says, although they knew God, speaking about people who were far from God, he says, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So they didn't give thanks to God. What happened? They became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you become foolish when you lack gratitude to God for the things that he's given you. Like, it poisons our minds when we're not grateful for the things that God has given us. And of course, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying here is that thanksgiving actually is a weapon against anxiety. Thanksgiving is a weapon against anxiety and all other forms of mental attack and emotional turmoil that we go through. If we just had this ability to just stop and be thankful. But it's not just a physical, a spiritual principle. It's also a physical principle. There's a guy named Robert Emmons who works at the University of California, Davis, who just made a career. He's an academic. He's made a career out of studying gratitude. And some of the things that he's experienced. The first thing they had a study where one group wrote about things they were grateful for that occurred during the week. Another group wrote about the daily irritations. Anybody an expert at daily irritations? Like to write those down. And then another group who did both, just whichever one they wanted to. And after 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude, they were more optimistic. They felt better about their lives. They exercised more. Their blood pressure was lower. And their cognitive thinking had been rewired. Like, can you just put that in a pill and we could take it? That would be amazing. And all it is what? Gratitude. Focusing on the positive. And this is not the power of positive thinking. This is not, hey, God's got it, don't worry about it. This is intentionally battling to realize what God has done in the midst of our circumstances. Man, there's you could go on about benefits to our bodies because it boosts your immune system, lowers depression, increases feelings of energy. It literally increases dopamine and serotonin, the happiness chemicals in our body. This is what gratitude does for us. And there's just a lot of benefits for gratitude. Now watch the response of and watch what Jesus says about the other nine. In verse 17, it says this, Jesus answered, "We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Like, he asked the same question three times, just to emphasize it. Like, where are these? It seems like Jesus was expecting a different response, doesn't it? Have you ever given a gift or done something for somebody and they didn't say thank you and you said, "I didn't really want them to say thank you, but it would have been nice"? Jesus wanted them to say thank you, and he's just honest about it. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, like, why aren't we more grateful? Like, why aren't you more grateful? So I'm going to walk through a couple of reasons why we're not more grateful, but then also the antidote that will help us to build a discipline of gratitude. So first one is that we tend to focus on the negative, don't we? Anybody recognize that in their life? We focus on the negative. Like, if you played any kind of sports growing up, here's what could happen to you. You would have a ball game. Maybe you played softball or baseball. You'd hit three home runs and strike out once. What were you thinking about? The strikeout. Hey, parents, we do this all the time. You got a kid who comes home with three A's, two B's, and a D. What are you focusing on? The D. Because they need to fix that. Otherwise, they're not going to Harvard, right? Man, we tend to focus on the negative. How about this? Is there someone in your life that when they call and you see them on caller ID, you say to yourself, "What's wrong?" Like, we just have this tendency to focus on the negative. And we all know it takes seven positive things to overcome one negative thing that's said to us. And we just, and the news media has figured this out, because what negativity sells? You know what gets you elected? Right? Negative ads. And so we have a culture that focuses on the negative and complaining. So how do we combat that? It's not just focus on the positive, but we need to learn to thank God for imperfect gifts. We need to learn to thank God for imperfect gifts. Have you ever got a gift that was just less than perfect? And you're just like, "Oh, didn't quite measure up." How many of you were married? Just saying. Your spouse married an imperfect gift. If you're married, turn to your spouse right now and say, "I'm imperfect." Now tell them, "You're imperfect." And if we wait to be grateful until we find perfection, what happens? We turn into complainers. We turn into being entitled. And we just get imperfect gifts. You know, the body you got probably is imperfect. You probably think to yourself, "I wish I had a different body." Your house, you probably custom built your house, some of you. There's some things you wish you had different. It's not perfect. It could be your friends. It could be your job. Just could be your life. We need to learn to thank God for imperfect gifts, because they're still good, aren't they? Man, they're still good. Thank God for imperfect gifts. It reminds me of a Christmas story with Ralphie. When Ralphie wants a Red Ryder BB gun, and what does he get? A pink rabbit's pajamas from his aunt. Got to learn to throw those in the trash. So we focus on the negative. We need to thank God for imperfect gifts. Man, we're self-sufficient too. You know, we just get in this routine of doing things ourselves and we think we did them. You know, the truth is, you're pretty skilled at a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you could probably do without God. And we become self-sufficient. And we just begin to assume that things are just this way because of what we did. And we might not say it out loud, "Look at me." But underneath the current of our lives, we're not grateful. Man, and the way that we combat that is just to worship God every day. And it's just to worship God every single day. Like, when we wake up in the morning, man, our first thought should turn towards God. We have a saying around here, "No Bible, no breakfast." Man, our first thought should turn towards God. When we get out of bed, one of the things I do is I like to say thank you in the morning, but then I walk out on my front step and I just look up at the sky, and if I see stars, I'm like, "God, you did that, right? Like, you named that star right there. Like, you did that, thank you." If it's clouds, I'm like, "Lord, thank you, we need some rain." And so you just begin to learn to thank God in everything. Like, if you're married, you just wake up and just thank God for your spouse. If you're dating someone, just wake up and you thank God. And you can thank God in advance for the things he's going to do, but we need to learn what it means. Just this is why we show up on Sunday, so that we can worship God, our hearts can be fired up to begin to thank God and remember that we didn't do all this. We can't stop a storm. We can't create a sunset. We can thank God. So second thing in developing a discipline of gratitude is just to worship God every single day. Man, what should I be thankful to God for that I think I did? Maybe it's your job, very successful at that. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you're just a great parent and all your kids turned out amazing and they have jobs and spouses, and maybe you think you did that. And trust me, from the rest of us parents in the house, you did not. Another reason we don't thank God is we just get so busy and we just get distracted. You know, when something comes into our life, we know we should say thank you, but we won't take the time to stop and to thank God. Man, throughout the Bible, they just have these rhythms of giving thanks. Man, like if you had a baby, you went to the temple and gave thanks. If your crops came in, you went to the temple and you gave thanks. Every year they had a week called the Feast of Booths where you went and lived out. I didn't say booze, booths. Where you went and somebody's like, where's that one? I'll give thanks. They would go live out in the wilderness just to celebrate that God had brought them through the wilderness. It was just an opportunity to celebrate and give thanks to God. There, in the Psalms, there's Psalms of thanksgiving. So there's 9, 35, 69, 95, 100, 106, 107, 118, 136. Like those are just the ones that start with the words, thank you. There's just these rhythms that are built in, these holidays that are built in. And we need to just establish rhythms of gratitude. We need to establish rhythms of gratitude. Because if we don't, we'll just be so busy and so distracted, we'll forget. There's this thing in the Bible called Ebenezers, and it means stones of remembrance. And so they would just put these little piles of stones that don't look like much, but every time they walked by, they'd be like, son, you remember what that was? That was when God brought us out of Egypt, right? And so every time they knew, they looked at it, and they could just remember, that's what God did. We should be thankful for that, because why? He'll do it again. And so even around our homes, we should put things that remind us just to be grateful and establish rhythms of gratitude in our hearts. Another reason why we're not grateful is just envy. Envy. Like we see other people's highlight reels every day on Instagram or Facebook or wherever. Man, and we see everything that they are that we wish we had or that we don't have. And we just begin to envy other people. We begin to envy the house they have or the car they drive or the job that they have or the kids that they have or the resume that they have. And we're like, man, why didn't that happen that way for me? And what we need to do to combat that is just to learn to celebrate other people. Hey, have you ever noticed that it's easy to just mourn with people? But it's hard to celebrate with people at times. And when something good happens for you, you want somebody to call and celebrate and just say, hey, this happened. Because you want somebody that when you call, you're not bragging. You're just thankful. And you need somebody. And when you learn to celebrate other people, it just opens up a pathway for God to step into your life. Because it reminds us life's not about me and God loves everybody. And we need a culture that would celebrate other people rather than criticize other people so much. Man, celebrating other people. And then we need to learn what it looks like to thank God and be grateful during times of anxiety. That's when it's hard, isn't it? Times of anxiety. You know, our mind gets racing. We wake up in the morning with the cares of the day or we're driving home from work. So I got a phrase I want to use that's a little cheesy, but maybe it will help you to remember how to combat that. It's stop, drop, and thank. Stop. Just stop. Whenever you have thoughts of anxiety or stress or worry, just stop. Drop what you're doing. And just thank God for the good things in your life. And as you begin to shift your attention, it will change your perspective and you will experience more of God's presence and that peace that passes understanding. Now in verse 19, as we close out this passage, it says this. It says, Jesus said to the man, he says, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now remember, cleansed was the symptoms were gone. Healing was the disease was gone. You were made well is a spiritual term that talks about salvation. It talks about eternal life. It talks about you got a new identity. It talks about you were saved from your sins. And so Jesus looks at this man's gratitude as an act of faith and it made him well. Were the other 9 made well? They got cleansed. But we have no indication that they were made well. They missed out. Wouldn't you hate to be one of the nine? You got just some temporary healing, but not eternal, deep healing for your soul. And so Jesus heals this man and just brings us back to where gratitude starts. Gratitude is always grounded in the good news of the gospel. And we get personal access to God. Man, all of this finds its place in Jesus. So now let's turn our attention towards the ABCs of gratitude briefly. You ready? All right. A is for Advent. Duh. You had to get a Jesus answer first. And this is obviously Advent coming up. We start next week. And that we just remember what the season's about. That we focus on the arrival of Jesus. That's what Advent means. I'm grateful that Jesus showed up, aren't you? And I'm so grateful for his arrival, that God would break into our world to give us life, and that we get to celebrate it every single year. And so I realize, you know, a lot of times you're like, this December's gonna be different. We're gonna make it all about Jesus. Like, I don't know about that sometimes. Sometimes that may be a little bit too high of a mark, but we can continue to focus our attention on Jesus. I mean, grab an Advent calendar so every single day you can just remind yourself about Advent. Be sure you come to all four services that we have. They're gonna be super fun and they're gonna be super impactful. At least that's what we're praying. A is for Advent. We should be grateful and express gratitude for what Jesus did. B, gotta be baptisms, doesn't it? Right? B has gotta be baptisms. That we have just seen an inordinate amount of baptisms and it's been so fun to watch the life change. The reason we celebrate baptisms is because this is the evidence that God's still in the God doing business, that God still changes lives, that God still works, that people are still brought from death to life. Baptisms. Man, a quick story of a kid that got baptized recently. Since she went to camp at Stone Creek and was going for about 4 years, and she never used to talk about Jesus, never prayed, never asked for forgiveness. Then she met her counselor, Anna, and who showed her that God wasn't a genie, but God loved her and was good. So she surrendered her life to Jesus, and then she was baptized by Anna. So now she reads the Bible, worship, and prays every day. And so we just have story after story after story of people getting baptized. So B is baptism. C, college football. Hello, let's go, somebody. That probably gets the biggest excitement in the room. College football, I'm short on time, so I'm going to keep on moving right past that one. But love just the opportunity to sit sometimes and watch college football. All right, D is for Debbie, my wife, right? And so, man, what a treasure she is. We've been married for 34 years and really believe that the marriage is life-giving and long-lasting. I know a lot of people talk about how hard work marriage is. That's because you're not married to me. You know, it can be challenging at times, but God has given such a blessing. And she's a blessing to our family, but also she's a great blessing to this church. And so grateful for my wife, Debbie. You should be grateful for your spouse. Right? You should be grateful for your spouse. Remember to thank God for your spouse. E, Elevate City Church, our campus down in Sandy Springs. You know, man, those guys went down there. We launched a campus in 2020 down in Sandy Springs. And man, it's been a lot of hard work, but they have built a disciple-making movement. We're seeing them baptize people. You know, one of our initiatives for X Multiply is 10 campuses or church plants in 10 years. There would be the first of those. And I'm so grateful for that team. I'm grateful for what God's allowed us to experience down there. One thing that we do need that you could pray for is we still need a permanent facility down there. And so if you know somebody, if you could help out in any way, but clearly everybody can pray for them to have a facility. Can everybody do that? Amen. All right. F, fun. Because fun is what? Fundamental. And we love to have fun. I've got a little video that you've already seen of me having fun at the wedding. That's enough of that. But there was a lot more moves than that shown on the dance floor that night, but they're not fit for public consumption, so we won't show them. But man, we love to have fun. We all need to have a little fun. And we need to be grateful for fun. We need to laugh at ourselves a little bit. We take ourselves too seriously at times, don't we? So we need to learn what it means to have a little bit of fun. F is for fun. G, grandkids. Grandkids. So I have three, and you can see me and Lila Jane with our sunglasses on, Debbie and Sage and John. Sage is doing the thumbs up because she's just awesome like that. And you can see the grandkids. The Bible says this. It says, I didn't really want to write this down. Grandchildren are a crown of the aged, but I said it out loud. It's wild, like health and wealth and accomplishment, social status, Bible doesn't call any of those crowns, right? Your honor goes to grandchildren. H is for hot chocolate. Now hot chocolate's not just because I like hot chocolate, but because of this. Like, my favorite Christmas movie is Polar Express, okay? And so the hot chocolate scene just kind of epitomizes what that movie's about. The reason I love that movie is it's so much about identity, if you didn't pick up on that when you watched it. That each of those kids is getting a name. I actually have the Polar Express ticket right here with my name on it, because I love how it just forms identity in these kids and how it just teaches us even about how God forms identity in us. Jeremiah says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Listen, you have an identity in Christ. You're a new person. You're a new creature. Your identity isn't found in what you do. It's not found in what you look like. It's not found in what you accomplish. And our identity is given to us because God loves us deeply and we don't have to work for it. He just gave it to us. Man, I love hot chocolate. I is for in-laws, okay? Now, I'm thinking of in-laws a little bit differently. These are downstream in-laws. So you'll see on the right, you see Parker, my son John. They just got married a couple of weeks ago. So that's us at the wedding. Parker has one sister. And so I just imagine their house is very quiet and ours is not. And so she's been a good sport to go along with it. In the middle, you'll see Bree and my wife, Debbie, at the wedding. Bree is mom to Sage and Shepherd, who will be the greatest church planter in history. And so she is a great mom to them. And on the left, you'll see Michael. Michael is my wife, is my daughter's husband. Michael, you'll see there, he's sailing and recently was part of a team that won the world championship in J70 sailboats in St. Pete. And we've established how much we all like to win, so I had to point that out. But he's my least favorite of the three, but I love him deeply. But it's great when your children marry people that you like to be around, you like to have fun with, and to see them chase after the Lord. Now, Jay, you know what this is going to be, right? Jesus. Come on. Got to be Jesus. Why? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Everything was created by him, whether heaven, earth, visible or invisible, whether rulers, authorities, powers, or dominions. Everything was created for him and through him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus is the center of everything. We need to give thanks for the gospel every day. That's how you develop a heart of gratitude and remind yourself of why you're here and remind yourself of how much he loves you. Let me ask you just a quick question. What's your favorite thing about Jesus? And you should think of that every day. You should just think about it every day. And if you just say grace or some generic term, you haven't thought deep enough about it. There's got to be some things about Jesus that you love. J for Jesus. K is kids, right? K is for kids. This is when my kids were really little and chunky. One Christmas, that's Bennett on the left, my daughter Anna Lee in the middle. That's John and then Ethan on the right. But just the Bible says this in Psalm 127. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. And so just grateful to the Lord for this church and how this church was so good for my kids. But we should just give thanks for our kids every day. And I realize that there may be some things in your children's life that you aren't grateful for, but really work hard to find something that you are. It may be that you wish you had kids and you didn't. But there are some things in that we can still remember that God is good. Man, K for me is kids. L is for our leadership development program. We have a picture of our four proteges right now. Of course, you've seen a lot of Annie on the left there, sitting on the front row, just so I can call you out, Annie. You're amazing. Thanks for being a part of our church. Sarah, and then we have these guys that are, man, we're just excited about all four of them and everything that God has done in their life and the way they've joined our team and been part of what's going on. And they're just integral parts that actually have worked. One of the things that I really, really missed out on when I was first went into ministry was just on-the-job training. And so I'm grateful for our program, the way you invest in our leaders, and just want to say thank you. But I'm grateful for what God's doing in our leadership development program. Part of our vision for the next 10 years is to equip saints for the work of the ministry, with 100 people trained going through our leadership development program. So I'm just grateful for that. L is for leadership development program. What comes after L-O-M, morning watch? The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 5. It says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. In the morning. You know, I get it. A lot of people call this quiet time. I don't know why, because it says we're in battle. And so I love to get up in the morning and have time with the Lord. I'm grateful that God will meet you there. I'm grateful that God has given us his word. I'm grateful that God just would spend time with us. And so, man, I'm just grateful to have morning watch. N is for Nancy. Nancy's my mom. And so I had to give a shout out to my mom. This is us. We just had the privilege of taking her to Israel. And so my mom is 83 and has just left a trail of disciples in her wake. And so we should always be grateful for our parents. You know, you may owe your parent a thank you call or text today. Anybody? Just to say thank you for the way that they raised you, because you know you gave them more trouble than you were worth. And so grateful for that. O is outdoors. Man, the Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And every time we see creation, we should just stop and thank God for it and remind ourselves that God did that. God did that. P is for pocket knives. Small thing you may not know about me is I love pocket knives. And so a lot of times people don't love pocket knives. I wonder how sharp this one is. Pretty sharp. So that was unscripted. But the thing about pocket knives is just represents and reminds me just to stay ready. You know, the Bible says stay dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. And so that a pocket knife is just a good tool to have at times, whether it's opening a letter or skinning a deer. That happens regularly. But it's just a great reminder that God would use us. Man, I have a lot of quotes. You guys like quotes? Like, love quotes, one of my favorite quotes. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the one who points out where the strong man stumbles or the doer of good deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to who? The man in the arena. The one whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. The man who strives valiantly, who gives his life in a worthy cause. And if he succeeds, knows the triumph of high achievement. But if he doesn't succeed, at least his place is not with those cold, timid souls who know neither victory or defeat. Love that quote. Because just as a great reminder to us, man, that God has just given us the dignity to make a difference. And that we should stay active in building his kingdom. Love that quote, which brings us to R. That quote was said by Teddy Roosevelt. So R for Roosevelt. Love Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt said this too. He said, no people on earth have more cause to be thankful than ours. And this is said reverently, in no spirit of boastfulness and our own strength, but with gratitude to the giver of good who has blessed us. I just love a lot that he was about, just his active lifestyle. So R. Now S, you all know what it is. And if I didn't say it, you feel like I sold out on you and I wasn't being completely honest. And so I'm gonna say it and move right on. Okay, S is for sex, no pictures, moving on to T for team. Moving on to T for team. This is our staff team. Man, I just love the people that I get to work with. The Bible says in Psalm 101, it says, I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Man, and it's great in your life just to have people around you, to be part of your team, people who will spur you on. Man, and who is that? You should just say thank you. Maybe you need to call them today, text them today, write them a thank you note today, just for people who are on your team. You, ultimatum, the Bourne ultimatum, simply because that's my favorite series of movies. Jason Bourne, I love how, again, it's about identity. You know, the first one is called what? Bourne Identity. Love that. V is for victory. Don't you love victory? Like, anybody like to win in here? Love to win. Don't always get to win. Love to win. 1 Corinthians says this, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. W, this is another obvious one. Wake, come on, right? Let's go. Man, what God is doing in our student ministry, I just hear story and story about it. Don't you wish you'd have had a student ministry like Wake when you were growing up? Like the life change that we get to see, the baptisms, the leaders that are being trained, the church planters that are being prepared, the missionaries that are being developed, through Wake. I'm just so grateful to the Lord. Every time we're in worship or every time I show up on a Wednesday night to watch them, I literally just say to myself, God, thank you. Man, I do not deserve this. Thank you. All right, X multiply. 10 years of impact. 10 initiatives for 10 years of impact. Why? Now, you're going to think I'm joking, but I'm not kidding. It's you. It's you. There's a passage in Ephesians chapter 1 that I pray over our church most days of the week. And in verse 16, it says this, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And so I literally go through, and as God just brings people to mind, I'll just thank God for people that I know that go to our church that are part of what's happening and just part of the movement that God is building here. So thank you. I'm grateful for every single one of you and everything that God's done in your life. What a great, great church and blessing God has given us here at Stone Creek. And then the last one, all right, and I'm just going to read a passage from the Bible. The last one is Zion, right? Zion. Now that feels like a big, thick biblical word, doesn't it? Like, what does that even mean? You know, in the Bible, Zion just refers to heaven. It refers to the place that we're going. It refers to the time when all this will be done and we can just rest. And so I'm just going to read a picture of this out of Revelation chapter 21. John is writing this, and John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. It says, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God will be with them as their God. Oh, here we go. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Like, if you got some tears, we all go through life with some tears. Man, some of them may be a little more fresh, and there's a day when that's gone. And how close do you have to be to wipe away somebody's tear? This close. That's how close God will be. He says, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the picture. This is why we're grateful. It's grounded in the gospel and what's going to happen in the future. And that's unchanging. It can't be taken away from us. So we should be a grateful people. And as we develop gratitude, we'll just get this personalized access from God. And I wouldn't want you to miss out on that, that we would be a grateful people and that we would be a grateful church. Let's pray together.